Thank you. You started with the power. That was a... Well, thank you so much for having me in your beautiful USA, United States of America. What a beautiful place God has blessed you with. And I'm honored to be here. You're amazing. You're Americans. You're crazy. And I absolutely love it. And I love that you, wherever you go, you walk with your pacifiers. You know, the pacifiers. And beautifully, those pacifiers are pacifying those crazy people outside that don't want to be pacified. So in my country, if you are walking with a pacifier, you have to be there a gangster or a gangster in uniform. You're not allowed to carry something that would protect your life. So Canada has fallen very, very far, very low. The villains, it looks like the villains, they have all the laws and they can do whatever they want, and the victims have no rights whatsoever. In the Bible, it says that there will come a time when people will call good evil and evil good, and we are seeing this in front of our eyes wherever we go. At times you look at what's going on and you may say, well, that's a tragedy. That's a very sad thing that is going on around. But I'm telling you, my wife, some time ago, she said to me, Art, when is this going to stop? And I said, what do you mean? The evil, the hypocrisy of the church, the schizophrenia in the church. You see, from the pulpit, pastors will preach and will say, we are believing in a mighty God, God that heals, God that raises the dead. And yet, people are afraid of the virus. They come to me and says, you're not afraid of the virus? I said, no, the virus is afraid of me. So why would I be afraid of the virus while in my Bible it says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? You see, either we believe in God or we do not believe in God. Either we believe in the Bible or we do not believe in the Word of God. Either we are willing to obey Him, because the Bible says that rebellion or disobedience is like a spirit of divination. So what I observed for many years is the church practicing witchcraft. A spirit of divination is witchcraft. So you have to make up your mind. Either you're Christian or you're not. Either you believe in God or not. And what we are witnessing right now is the greatest separation ever seen during our lifetime between the real and the fake. About 3 years ago, he showed me a vision, and this is what he said to me. You're about to see the greatest separation between the sheep and the goats and the sheep and the wolves. Is that not what we're seeing right now? Now you can tell who is who. You can see the terrified, afraid, and you see the ones that say, hey, if I perish, I perish. You know what the Christians? Christians drive me nuts. They say they love Jesus and they're ready to see Jesus. And when Jesus sends them a ticket for a departure, they don't want to show up. Total schizophrenia. Make up your mind. Do you want to see Jesus or not? It's like me, I'm traveling all over this beautiful nation of yours, and they would usually send me a ticket where I'm going the next day. If I want to reach that destination, I have to show up at the airport. And sometimes, actually, more than I would like, I have to wake up 3 in the morning and be at the airport at 4 for the early departure. I hate that stuff, by the way. I do hate some things. And this I really do not like. But if I want to reach my destination and do what God wants me to do, I got to show up. So what's wrong with us Christians? Do we love Jesus? In the Bible, Apostle Paul writes and he says that for me to die is to gain. It's not losing, it's gaining. The Bible says that when they hate you, when they persecute you, great is your reward. What it says? Great. What that means? Great is your reward. You know, as humans, we have a tendency to exaggerate. So when you catch a fish, right? It kind of grows. All the time it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But when God says something is small or narrow, that's narrow. But when he says something is great and big, that means start being excited. Because he says, they've done this to me. They will do it to you, but I will reward you. So how come we as Christians, we are so terrified of dying? We're so terrifying of being persecuted or prosecuted. What's wrong with us? Don't we know, and yesterday I preached about that, don't we know that Jesus shows up in the fire? Don't we know that he comes and he sends his angels in the lion's dens? That he uses persecution and prosecution in purpose of elevation. He is elevating you when you're willing to go through the fire. So we talked about those boys, three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those boys were told that they have to bow. They have to bow or else. They have to worship the golden image, just like Fauci, the lying devil, Pinocchio, I call him. He is telling you that you have to bow. You have to bow before his mandates. You have to bow before his regulations, restrictions. Bow or else I'll throw you into the fiery furnace. You are to obey. If you will not obey, there are penalties. There's jail. There's all kinds of different things. They themselves are not obeying those rules because you see, to them, you're a slave. They are the masters. They are the pharaohs of today. And they're telling you, bow or else. When they say to me, bow or else, I always choose or else. And it's like a very well-known thing with me. If you say bow or else, I always pick or else. And or else shows up. You know, God gives you the desire of your hearts. So when you ask for or else, you shall get it. And you know, enemy shows up. And I'm telling you, enemy is powerful. Enemy is strong. Enemy shows up. However, my God is bigger than my enemies. You see, my God is bigger than all of my enemies combined together. Greater is he that is in me than the one that is in them. So people are terrified. Christians, I'm not talking about the worldly people. I'm talking about Christians. Christians do not know their Bible. Christians do not read their Bible. Christians are terrified of giants of the land. So those three boys, I'll finish this and then we will go to another scripture. Those three boys refused to bow. And the king was, King Fauci was very upset. Very upset. And his big nose was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he was getting more upset and the nose was getting red. It says that he was furious with them. How dare you, Christians are not bowing before me. How dare you, you're not respecting my mandates and regulations. Don't you know I'm this great pharaoh of the land? You have to bow. Off you go to the furnace. And listen what happened. He asked all his best, the Clintons and Obamas and Gates, he asked all his best soldiers to tie them up and throw them into the fiery furnace. But the furnace was so hot that when they did throw those three boys into the fire, they all died in the fire. Remember the story? Christians, read the Bible. The enemies of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego died in the fire. So that's your first miracle. We are running away from persecution, but God uses persecution to deal with your enemies. Because in my Bible it says when you touch a child of God, you're touching the apple of God's eyes. And I'm telling you, if I would came to you, can we do it? Do it to your neighbor. Just put your finger into their eye. Just start poking them. And see their reaction and see if they like it. And if they like it, they're weird. There must be aliens. But I'm telling you, when you keep doing this to your neighbor, he will really, really not like you. And I would just say prophetically that they would punch you in your face if you keep doing it. So now imagine when the people do that to our God. They keep poking at his eye and keep poking, they keep doing this. And eventually, I'm telling you, he's going to slap you in the face. And when he slaps you, you have no face. He's not like a man. So what I know is that in the fire, God deals with our enemies. He allows certain things to happen because you see, persecution or prosecution purifies us. It shows us who we really are. Do you really love Jesus? I mean, how many of you love Jesus? You love Jesus? Well, the Bible says that if you love Him and you follow Him, you will be persecuted. So how much you love Him? All the way to the cross or just half the way to the cross? Because in my Bible it says, also pick up your cross daily and follow me. Cross is not a toothpick that you use after coming from a steakhouse. It's not the jewelry on your neck so you can walk around and show everyone that you have a nice cross on your neck. A cross is a weapon that they use to murder people. And he says, take that weapon and walk with it every single day. Pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? It cost our father his son. It cost the son, Jesus Christ, his own life. He paid it with his own blood. Do you really think that it's not going to cost you anything to follow Jesus? We have created Christianity today that is shallow, weak, uninterested in the kingdom of God, selfish, self-centered, entertainment. And the pastor preaches the gospel. When the pastor pushes a little bit too hard, people stand up and say, you know, I'm out of here. I will find another church. And I said, go, please. Go. Can you go faster? Go and join the Zoom chatting wards. Just enjoy your Zoom chatting churches. You know, like I said yesterday, I'm going to say it to the young people, because young people are so brainwashed these days, they really think they can start a family watching Zoom chats. So I'm telling you, kids, you will never have children if you continue to watch Zoom. That's not how you build a family. You will never have children through Zoom chats. You will never have a relationship with your wife or with your husband through Zoom chats. If you don't believe me, try it. Have a dinner through Zoom chat. You see, pastors have walked away from the truth. The Bible says, do not forsake the gatherings of the saints. What it says? Do not. Well, Fauci, the Pinocchio, says that I'm forbidding you to have a church. And now suddenly you have a choice. Either you're going to bow before the Faucis of today, the Faucis of, you know, the wannabe tyrants, or you're going to bow before God. You have a choice. And you see, I had a choice as well. But I read my Bible, and not once, not twice. I love the Word of God, because the Word of God, the truth, the Bible says, sets the captives free. You see, I used to be a slave. With your pastor today, we were talking about, you know, different things, and I shared a little bit of the horrible things I've done in my life. I was a slave to the devil. But you see, my Jesus set me free. He died for my freedom. No man, no government, no Fauci, no Obama, no Biden, that doesn't even know his last name anymore, will put me back in chains. How dare you? How dare another human being puts another human being into chains? How dare you? Who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistines? And we as Christians, we fall for that, and we allow other people to put us in bondage, either from the pulpit or from the political arena. Like, seriously, who they think they are? You see, I know who I am. So when they came to our church in 2005, yes, they are hunting me down since 2005. Dozen arrests, over 100 court cases, 300 citations. To this day, I have 30 COVID citations, millions of dollars, 3 court orders, 2 court injunctions, 2 contempt of court, facing 4 years prison as we speak right now. Do you see me terrified? Do you see me depressed, suicidal? No, because I know my God. I know who I am in God. You see, the greatest revelation in life are two things. First thing, you have to know who your God is. How big is your God that you serve? Is he bigger than the virus? Is he bigger than Fauci? Is he bigger than your governor? Is he bigger than your mayor? How big is your God? And the second revelation you have to have, who you are in God. Are you a son of the living God? Amen. Are you a daughter of the Most High? Are you the heir to the throne? He calls you his priests and his kings. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you're going to sit on the throne and you're going to rule? And this today is just a preparation for what's coming. He's training us. He's making sure you're real, you're for real. How do you test a man? You test a man through the fire. You test a man when he goes through difficulties. That's where the character, the real one, comes out. And we as Christians, we are running away from the fire, but God says fire is good. It will purify you. I will deal with your enemies. I'll show you where you're lacking because I want you to be better, stronger, more powerful. In order for David to fight with the Goliath, you know he had to fight with the lions and the bears? In order for him to be able to be a delivery boy, to bring crackers and cheese for his brothers, he had to fight with the lions and the bears. And the story is so fascinating. I shake my head. I'm a hunter. I go to the bush and I've seen grizzlies and I'm thinking like this is no way I would go against that beast and snatch a sheep out of his mouth. That's what David did. He says, and when the lion took a sheep, I ran after the lion. Are you nuts? I would say to the lion, take an extra one for tomorrow. Just leave me alone. But David goes and runs. Can you imagine? You know, I work in Africa. I've seen those beasts in savanna. They're huge animals. Their head is so big, it will be like one snap and it's over. And David, he runs after them and he snatches what's his from the mouth of the lion. And look at us today. Few thousand years later, they're taking our children, they're taking our homes, they're shutting down our churches, and we're not even willing to stand up and do the least that God requires us to do, just open the church. In my city, Calgary, when they came to hunt me down like an animal, we used to rent a place, and a pastor that was giving us that space that rented to me, calls me one day and he says, Art, you're no longer allowed to come into the church. I said, what happened? Did they burn it down? I thought Antifa attacked because we're constantly being attacked. They tried to burn me alive during the night hour. They tried to burn my house. They unscrewed the bolts in our truck. They punched me. They attacked me physically. They threatened me. They said I will be assassinated. All kinds of different things. So I thought maybe they burned down the church that we were renting. He says, no. The authorities contacted me and they said that we might get a ticket if we don't kick you out. And I said, you might get a ticket? I got 30 of them and you don't even have one? What's wrong with you? I talked to him for 2 hours. I tried to reason. I said, this is going to be your greatest failure if you kick us out. You will regret this. You will see Jesus one day, and you will regret this. You might get a ticket. Well, he kicked us out. He did not get his ticket. But God gave us a twice as big of a facility, and he filled it within weeks. You see, what enemy meant for evil, God turns around for good. When we run away from the persecution, we are robbing ourselves from the blessings that God has for us. Oh, Pastor, you don't make any sense. Because naturally, we want to run away from difficulties, right? Naturally, we want to run away from people that hate us and attack us. But I'm telling you, in order to be elevated, you have to go to the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that. They said, when the king, Fauci, told them, who will rescue you from my hands? This is their reply. They said, well, our God is perfectly able to save us. But if he will not save us, that's fine too. We will see him face to face. It will be an early departure without even going 3 a.m. to the airport. You know, that will save gasoline. I'm a street preacher. I always think about savings. when you don't have to show up at the airport, that's a big saving. You know, free plane ticket, something to always think about. If we perish, we perish. It's fine. And off they go to the fire. Jesus shows up in the fire. How many of you would like to see Jesus? Then Jesus shows up in the fire. You got to go to the fire. He is in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had an encounter with the living God. I don't know. I like coffee, so maybe they had a cup of coffee together and they were drinking and discussing the kingdom matters. I don't know. But I know that Fauci looks down and says, well, we threw three guys. There are four. What's going on? See, God showed up. They came out of the fire. He told them to come out. And this is what he said. Only God, only the real God can do a miracle like this. And whoever will not bow before the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be chopped into pieces and his house will be destroyed. Because there is no other God that can do miracles like this. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were elevated to a higher position. You want a higher position? You want a blessing? You want to be healed? You want answers from God? You got to go to the fire. Jesus shows up in the fire with the answers. And they were elevated. The story of David is such a fascinating story. Because you got the army of Israel on one side. And you got the enemy on another side. And that's exactly what he showed me. The greatest separation between the sheep and the goats and the sheep and the wolves. You know the difference between those categories? Sheep. Sheep love to listen to the words of the shepherd. And they love to come together. They love this. But goats, they love to do whatever they want to do. They eat everything. They jump everywhere. And this is what they say to me all the time. Yeah, goats can talk. This is what they say. Who do you think you are to tell us what to do? We can do whatever we want. We don't have to come to your church. We can go to another church, the Zoom chatting church. Go. Goats love to go and do whatever they want to do. In a book of Judges, it's a fascinating ending because it says, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They were so divided. Everyone, all the 10,000 different denominations and all those pastors and leaders, they wanted to do whatever was right in their own eyes. The wolves, however, and this is what we see right now with the pastors and the priests and the rabbis. The moment the enemy showed up, they were just hired guns. And when enemy showed up, they were not willing to pay the price. They were not willing to die for the sheep. They were the first ones to run. You know, we have a province. You got your states. We got provinces in Canada. And there is a province called Saskatchewan. And it said, I couldn't prove that, but that's what they say, that in Saskatchewan, when the dog starts to run, 3 days later, you can see his tail going around when he's running. It's so flat. Right now, you still can see those pastors' tails running away from the responsibility. You see, the enemy showed up, and a true shepherd, he has a staff and a stick, or a rod, if you want, for a purpose. And again, it's not so he can clean his teeth after a steakhouse dinner. A rod and a staff. A staff is to chastise the sheep when they are misbehaving. And the rod is to fend off the hyenas and the wolves. But what we are experiencing right now is hired guns, pastors and the leaders, that for them it was just a good gig, it was just a job. If the kingdom of God for you is just a job, you're missing the boat. Because you see, for a real believer, this is life or death, this is heaven or hell, this is everything or nothing. Everything or nothing. With the story with David, they were Israelites. There was a church that was dressed for battle. They came. They were ready. On the other side, there were the Philistines. And then for 40 days, every morning and every evening, a giant comes. A Fauci shows up and he says, where is your God? I'm your God. You have to bow to me. Is there anyone that will fight me? Is there anyone that is going to stand up against me? And no one would be moving for 40 days. And Jesse, the father of David, sends him and he says, go and bring some crackers and cheese to your brothers because they're fighting. There is a war going on. There is a battle. And every time I read this, it cracks me. Every time I read this, it hits me the same way. What war? What battlefield? No one is fighting here. They're a bunch of cowards dressed, nicely dressed. Is that not the Christianity of today? People come nicely dressed to the church. And the pastors, instead of being warriors and fighters, they're entertainers. They're jugglers. They're juggling nicely for you. And they dance and they hope. And they hope that everyone will like them. I don't care if you like me. This is not a popularity contest. This is life or death. We're talking about souls. We are talking about going out into the neighborhoods because the neighborhoods are perishing and dying. People are going to hell every single day. And why they're going to hell? Because no one wants to go and tell them the truth. No one wants to go and pay the price and being persecuted or arrested by the police. I have been arrested for publicly reading Bible in 2006. Faced this a year jail time for reading the Bible. And they said, the reading of the Bible is offensive. Offends people now. It's prohibited. I said to them, the hell with your laws. Kept reading the Bible and I got arrested and thrown in jail. And I was told that feeding the poor is now in Canada against the law because giving free goods and services without the permit is prohibited. Well, the hell with your laws. They came from the pit of hell. When I feed someone, when I pray for someone, I am committing a crime. So I kept doing that. I got arrested and I stood before different courts. Then they said a distribution of printed material is also prohibited. So when we were giving Bibles away and the gospel tracts, that's punishable to the fullest of the law. So I got arrested again and I faced numerous charges. But right now, COVID came. You see, they have found a new way. I fought with those devils for 10 years. 2015, I won my last trial. They almost finished me off. 7 times I had to remortgage my house. But I stood. In the Bible, it says, when you did everything to stand, stand. When you did everything you can in your power, you stand. Why? Because you are to do your best. God will do the rest. I stood my ground because my ground is the Bible. Yes, your laws, I understand what you're telling me, but your laws are wrong. You have to change them. They're wicked, evil laws. And I'm not going to obey such a law that says I cannot feed the poor and I cannot give a Bible to anyone. So I stood my ground. I won 2015 with a great, great cost. I've lost millions of dollars in fight. I lost my friends, supporters, but I stood my ground. Because you see, he said once to me, you and me, we are always the majority. Even if the whole world goes crazy, if you stick with God, you know you win in the end. Because he wins in the end. He always wins. And then 2020, COVID came and they have found their new way of enslaving people. And that's enslavement. I'm telling you, this is the greatest elimination of the small and medium-sized businesses and the middle class ever in our history. And you say, why they want to eliminate small and medium-sized businesses? Doesn't make any sense. Because 80% of the people are the middle class people in America. Those people pay taxes. Why would government want this to stop? I'll tell you why. Because middle class people are their biggest opposition. In order to bring totalitarian dictatorship, opposition has to be removed. Why the middle class people? Because middle class people are highly educated, well traveled, they've seen things, they've been in places. They're also highly patriotic. Do you see right now they're attacking patriots? They call us far right, proud boys, and this. Anyone that stands for American flag is a far right extremist. Did you see just a few days ago, a Homeland Security issued a warning? Did you see that one? And it says that anyone that doesn't believe that election was real, well, you devils, your election was stolen. You've stolen the election. I'm talking to whoever is watching. the FBI devils, the CIA, they have stolen this election. They're a bunch of liars, manipulators. But if you do not believe them, you're terrorists, according to the Homeland Security. Also, they say if you're a religious person and you're practicing religious holidays, then you're a potential terrorist. Also, they said that if you support Trump and if you not support COVID restrictions, you're a terrorist as well. So why they're doing this? Because they need to eliminate the middle class and kill small and medium-sized businesses. Because those types of people are highly patriotic and family-oriented. You're very grateful to your country for what your country has given it to you. In other words, this is your promised land. This is your country that God has given you, blessed you with, and you're grateful to God and for the country, giving you those great opportunities to succeed. Also, you are family-oriented, and you want to pass whatever you received to the next generation. You want to bless your children and your grandchildren. Is that not the truth? When we work hard, we always work hard thinking, I'm going to pass it to my children. I'm going to bless them with something that I didn't have. They hate that idea. That's why they're removing. They are removing the opposition, and they want to create only two categories of people, extremely powerful and wealthy, and extremely poor. And remember, you can tell by now, I grew up behind the Iron Curtain in Poland. I grew up under the boots of the Soviets. We had only two categories of people, 50,000 communists that had everything their heart desired, and 36 million Poles that were slaves, literally slaves. You could go to jail for just listening to a European radio. You could go to jail for reading a pamphlet that was not approved by the Communistic Party. And before they would take you to prison, they would beat you up, they would torture you, there was lawlessness, there was no rule of law. The police officers were not following the law of the land. And you got to remember, because I hear this from Americans everywhere I go, oh, this will never happen to us. We have the Constitution of the United States of America. We have our Declaration of Independence. Listen to me. Tyrants do not care about your piece of paper. Tyrants do not care about your human rights. You have to care about your constitution. You have to care about the Declaration of Independence. You have to care about your human rights. If you will not stand up for what's rightfully yours, it will be gone for you, just like in Poland. Poland, from 1945 to 1989, had a constitution. You know, Poland was the second country on earth, right after United States of America, that implemented constitution. We were electing kings in Poland. We were democratically electing them. So for Polish people, liberty and freedom is something so dear, just like for Americans. It's everything. It's freedom. It's God, freedom. Jesus says very clearly, who comes to me is free indeed. So for a Christian, freedom should be a number one thing. God and freedom, family. But for the tyrants, they don't care about that stuff. They enslaved the whole population until in 1981, 36 million Poles said a very simple thing. Wait a second. There is more of us than of them. We can do something about this. And they took it to the streets. And they did Martin Luther King Jr. style civil disobedience, non-compliance. They said, we will not obey those restrictions. We will not work for you. And they paralyzed the entire nation. Millions of Poles took it to the streets and they said, we're not your slaves. We will not work for you any longer. Tens of thousands were arrested. Some were shot dead. Tanks on the streets, machine guns. But they stood their ground. And in 1982, communism collapsed. In 1989, the Berlin Wall has fallen and the Iron Curtain was broken. And partially thanks to you. Because it was American money that helped us to achieve this. It was Americans that were smuggling pamphlets. You know that? So God has a covenant. He has a covenant with you. When I arrived in your country, I said, God, what do you want me to tell Americans? And this is what he said to me. Tell this great eagle, tell this great American eagle that it's time for that eagle to rise up and start flapping its wings. Tell that great American eagle. You know he calls you great eagle? He calls you great American eagle. And I was wondering why you people are awful. Why would he call you great? America is responsible for a lot of awful things. You're the number one pornography industry on earth. You are murdering more children than we have in our country, in Canada. You are parading your sin on your streets naked with a homosexual perversion and transgenderism and all this garbage of 72 genders. I mean, you're kidding me? You can't even say all of those genders. I bet there's not one of those wackos that can repeat all those genders. I only know three genders. There are only three genders, you know that? Only three genders. Are you're raising your eyes. There are only three genders, not 72. Male and female and stupid. That's it. My greatest revelation in life outside of Jesus is how stupid people are. It's like two cows and you can have a calf? Seriously? And you came to this conclusion after a university degree? Wow! How low we have fallen because even cows know better. This is the reality we're dealing with. Kids, two cows will never produce anything except steak. Remember that for the rest of your life. It's a cow and a bull. That's how things work together. If you try any other way, that's it. You're dead. So they have been doing this for a very long time. They have been implementing this craziness for a very long time. And they're unfortunately succeeding. Why? Because church has fallen asleep. We have allowed this to happen. When the light refuses to shine, what remains? Darkness. If I was to ask them to shut down the lights, we cannot complain that it's dark here. Because in order to have the light, it's very simple. You just go over there and you turn on the switch. That's how easy it is. You see, the Bible says that we are the light of the world. Why are we shying away from politics? Why are we shying away from educational system, leaving those poor kids into an indoctrination machinery that tells them two cows will produce a calf? Why are we allowing this? Why are we doing this to our own children? We have given them into the hands of the beast. And now our children are murdering children left and right. Now you have kids confused. They don't even know if they're boys or girls anymore. They're suicidal. They're depressed. Do you know that America is a leading nation if it comes to taking antidepressants? Why do you think is that? Why Christians even take antidepressants? And if you're taking it, why? Don't you know who your God is? Don't you know His joy? Don't you know His hope? I am not on antidepressants. I'm facing years of prison. I'm actually rejoicing in everything that is happening because great is my reward. Remember, I told you. Don't you know that all the cattle on all the thousand hills belong to Him? Don't you know that our enemies are in the palm of God's hands? Fauci lives only because my papi, my father, allows him to wake up in the morning. You know that? I don't know why. But I'm not God, because if I was God, I would wipe you all out. Because of your imperfections, I would wipe myself out. But my God is a merciful God. He died when we were His enemies, the Bible says. You see, there are certain things I do not understand. I do not understand why people are dividing themselves. I do not understand why there is such a huge corruption, except, of course, greed and selfishness, self-centeredness. I do not understand. I do not understand why the church is not shining, and rightfully so, they have called us unessential services. Because the church failed this society. We failed the young people. We failed this generation. We have played an entertainment instead of being the light and the salt. The Bible says when you lose your saltiness, you're good for nothing, and you will be trampled by whom? Aliens? No, by men. What is happening right now? We're being trampled by men. Men are looking at the church and they say, you're useless. You're unessential. We don't need you. Society doesn't need you. So I say, good. Let them shut down all those churches. Every church that is not willing to stand up and preach the truth, God shut it down. And all the people that are seeking the real God, all the people that are looking for the real deal will come to you here and other churches that never shut down. It's time for the cleanup. It's time for the purification. It's time for the church to go to the fire. In the fire, purification happens. In the fire, he deals with our enemies. In the fire or in the valley of decision. You see, on one hand, you got Israelites. In another hand, you got the Philistines. You got the Obamas and Faucis and Clintons and Newsoms. Those devils, uncircumcised Philistines, are on one side. And then you got the valley of decision. And you got a nobody. Once he said to me, I'm going to raise a generation of faceless, nameless nobodies in the eyes of men, but somebody's in my eyes. You're going to see preachers that you've never heard of. You're going to see women and men popping up left and right, and you would say, where did they came from? Who is this guy? Who is this woman? Wow! Fire! Going around, wherever they show up. A resurrection. Jesus says, greater things than I, you shall be doing also. We've missed the boat as a church. So Jesse sends this kid, this nobody, kids, young men, listen, this is your time. You know that this is your time. This is your time. God is going to raise. If the older generation refuses to go, if the older generation doesn't want to fight, he's going to raise you up and you will be mighty David. You will be mighty Esther. You will be a mighty Deborah, Joshua and Caleb. As for me and for my household, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. That's the generation that we're going to see now. If the pastors don't want to preach the gospel, God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, raise children. Raise the kids. They will go out there and preach the fire of the living God. So David was a peculiar man. He was being trained for a very long time. He was a courageous man. You see, fear, what you see right now is the blanket of fear around the world. And fear is real. If you allow fear to rule your life, it's going to destroy you. But courage, boldness is also contagious. We just need the right type of people from the pulpit preaching the right type of messages. That our God is bigger than the God of Fauci. Amen. David understood that. He comes, he carries the crackers and the cheese, and he's looking for the fight, but no one is fighting because they're a bunch of cowards. They're terrified of this size of this big guy, and your pastor is a martial art expert, and he can testify. The bigger the guy, the greater the sound when he falls to the ground. I was always afraid of the little guys because they could kick you and you would not even see it where it came from. So David is looking at the situation. He's asking the right questions. What's going on here? Like, Lord, what's going on here? I thought this is supposed to be a fight. 40 days, evening, morning, this dude, this Fauci comes, this Pinocchio shows up. And he's defying the armies of the living God. He's mocking our God. Who do you think you are, Fauci, you uncircumcised Philistine? That you should defy the armies of the living God. Really, who do you think you are? He says, what is going to happen when I knock this dude down? And they told him, you're going to be rewarded. Okay, fine, good enough for me. He's not asking any more questions. Good, great is your reward. So he's willing to go and do the job. But you see, everyone around him wanted him to do it their way, but they were cowards. Do not allow them to put all those burdens on you. So they gave him the king's armor and the king's sword. They were giving him their own anointing. And you see, you cannot fight with somebody else's anointing, especially when that someone is a coward. So he takes it down. He says, no, I can't fight with this. I'm sticking with what God has given it to me. So sometimes you may say to yourself, well, I'm a nobody. I don't have enough money. I don't have this. I'm a woman. I'm a man. I'm old. I'm young. Rubbish. Garbage. don't even go that direction. You see, God used Moses. He started his ministry when he was 80. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was 80 when he started to conquer his promised land, and Caleb was 85. And this is what Caleb said. That's why God calls them a man of a different spirit. He says, don't just give me Idaho. I don't want Idaho. It's too easy. I want California. Give me Newsom. I'll eat him for breakfast. You see, because that's what lions do. They eat hyenas for breakfast. That's why I'm getting bigger and bigger in your country, because that's on my diet every single day. I'm sick of hyenas. I need you to rise up. I need help. It's just too many of them. So Caleb, he says, I want California. I want the high hills. There are giants over there. I want the fortified cities. I want the giants. I want a challenge. I want to tackle them. So I was invited to Portland just a few weeks ago. And it was a prayer meeting. The pastors, here's the message they sent me. It says, Art, come, because everybody's leaving Portland. No one wants to do anything here. They're terrified of Antifa. Would you come? I said, sure. So the Antifa said they will assassinate me if I show up. I said, okay, good. Let's do it. A great departure. No tickets, no gasoline. I mean, it's cool. So I showed up. And of course, Antifa was dressed for war. They were waiting for me. When they saw I showed up, they came full force. I mean, dressed for war. Helmets, gas masks, weapons, pistols, clubs, fire bombs, tear gas, mace, bear spray, the whole nine yards. Did you see? I'm traveling a lot, and I had a little bit of a sniffer. And you know, tear gas cleans your sinus beautifully. If you have any problems with your sinus, please go to Antifa meeting. They will clean you up in a most amazing way. And I was very, very grateful for them to do that free of charge. Yeah, they attacked. They did whatever the hyenas do. You know, they always remind me, and I share this everywhere I go because it just keeps popping up in my head. They're like chihuahuas. And I'm telling you, chihuahuas are ugly little creatures. And I believe they have not been created by God. This is my theory. Don't quote me on it. I do not believe that God created such an ugly thing. And I think they are hybrid. I think that somewhere, something, someone, aliens probably, they mixed a cat, a squirrel, and a bunny. And they added a little bit of a dog. And this is an ugly creature. And what I learned is because of the mixture, wherever they go, they poop everywhere and they pee all over the floor. I was told that it's very, very difficult to house train chihuahuas. That's your Antifa. Wherever they show up, they pee all over the place and they poop or they stink. And they're extremely annoying. They don't even know how to bark. This is some kind of like ugly thing. It's like so annoying. Like if you want to bark, bark. If you want to fight, stand up and fight. Don't throw some fire bombs and you cowards and tear gas. Seriously? You want to fight me? Fight me. Don't be a coward with a pack of chihuahuas. And the only thing you can do is poo around. It's like, you know? And you grab my leg and it's constantly, you know, I want to preach and those things just like attaching themselves to my legs. That's what's happening right now. Because you see, Stalin called them useful idiots. The devil will use you and the devil will throw you like a filthy rag when you're not needed. That's your BLM. That's your Antifa. That's your Fauci's, that's your Obama's, all those globalist Gates. The devil uses them and he always discards them. He throws them away. Epstein, the devil used him. And look, they murdered him in prison. They're cleaning the house. Last year in Portland, That's why they didn't want me to come. Some people were calling me and said they assassinated the fella last year, Antifa did. And the guy that pulled the trigger, killed that guy, was caught and faced trial. You know what happened to him? He committed suicide. You see, because the devil will use you and will throw you like a filthy rag. He always does that. He uses people and he throws them away. In 1939, it was a fascinating story because when I watched documentaries, of course, I've heard from my grandparents about Nazis and about Gestapo and SS, and that's why I call those people Nazis, Gestapo. When you watch the video Get Out, you see, they were harassing us for over a year. This was not just one incident. They were coming and they were ticketing me. They were coming. My record is over 100 police officers and 52 police cars. So they were harassing us for a long time. When I said get out, Gestapo, I was just referring to them that their tactics are identical to the tactics I've seen in history, particularly when the Nazis took over Europe. In 1939, I'll never forget those movies and the stories from my grandparents and the older generation, when the Nazi Germany women were so proudful of their husbands and their sons and their fathers, and they would, you know, Sieg Heil and all those different things. They were so proud, the mothers and the grandmas and the daughters, and the daddy goes to war, the, you know, the SS and the Nazi party. They were so proud, and off the fathers and the brothers and the sons went to rape and to pillage and to murder others in the name of this great nation, Germany. But in 1945, when the Russians were, in quote, liberating Europe, do you know what happened to those women? The same women that were so proud of their husbands and their sons and their fathers. You know what happened to them? Over 2 million German women were raped by the Russian soldiers. And they were not so proud in 1945. Most of their husbands were dead. Most of their fathers and their sons were dead. And they were raped, and there was no one to defend them. They were not so proud, because you see, devil's tactics are always the same. He will use you. If you're an officer, if you are in a field of authority, and you're being used to abuse another human being, think twice, because the devil will use you, and he will discard you. He will throw you like a filthy rag. He hates you. Devil is not your friend. He never was. He hates what God loves. And I see those officers, and I pity them. Yeah, I give them hard time, of course, that's my job. But I pity them. I feel sorry sometimes for them because they're being used. They are allowing totalitarian governments to kill, to steal, and to destroy for their father, the devil, and they're part of it. The nurses, the doctors that are not the whistleblowers, that they are participating in this sham, this big fat lie, they're part of the problem. Those Nazi women were part of the problem. They should say to their husbands and their fathers and their sons, do not do it. Don't you dare to do it. I'm telling you the power of a woman. I only fear two people in this entire earth. I only fear God, because when he spanks me, my bum hurts to this day. And I fear my wife. Because the worst thing for a man is to go to sleep with an enemy. I can deal with Nazi, with Gestapo, with SS, I have no problem. But to go to bed when my wife is mad at me, I fear for my life. Because I close my eyes and have absolutely no idea what is happening to me. I sleep and I'm terrified. And my wife, she's not big, but she's big. And her ancestry is Mongolian. So she's a Polish girl, but her grandfather, so she has that in her blood, and she sleeps with a machete. And I said, why, honey, you need that? Because we're not allowed to have guns, right? You can have a pistol, but it has to be locked in different place, and the bullets in different place. And by the time a villain comes, I prefer a chair. It's faster and easier. But she has the machete. She says, when you travel, just in case, when he comes, I'll chop his hands off. So I made up my mind very early to be her best friend. I don't want to lose my arms while I'm sleeping, you know. So, but going back to the story, David is seeing, and you know, I'm not comparing myself to David, but I had those feelings all my life as a Christian. What's wrong with us? Christians, what's wrong with us? Pastors, what's wrong with us? God is greater. Our God is the God. They are just serving idols. David goes and he sees his God bigger than the idol. And here is what David is doing. He runs towards the enemy. The enemy is saying, I'll chop your head. David says, no, I'll chop yours. And God confuses the enemy. When David is running towards the enemy, you know what the enemy sees? And that's my prayer. Pastor, pray this. Pray always confusion in the camp of the enemy. And let the devices of the enemy be turned on the enemy's head. So the giant, Goliath, is looking at David, and here is what he sees. I think most of the people are missing the story. There's always a story within the story. This is what the enemy sees. The enemy sees David running towards him with two sticks. He says, oh, am I a dog that you come to me with the sticks? He says. But you see, David only had one stick and a slingshot. If you know anything about history, if you know anything about slingshot, that was your sniper rifle. Those people were killers, and they could take a hair from very far. They were so precise that they were the snipers of that time. They were using this like a pistol, like a rifle. So the enemy thinks that he's running towards him with the sticks, but he was running with a deadly weapon. And then, boom, he goes with a smooth stone. He knocks the giant in the head. Have you wondered why the giant didn't have a helmet on? He didn't have a helmet on because he thought, you know, I don't need one with a boy with two sticks. Are you kidding me? And he looks at me and he says, well, who is this Polish Pawlowski guy? I'm going to crush him like a cockroach. I'm going to arrest him. I'm going to do, you know, give him tickets. I remember one time during holiday in Poland in 2020, last year, October, end of October, that was what, Halloween, right? Halloween, and the authorities went on television, and this is what they said. Kids, we know we locked you up for too long, just go out there and have fun. Have fun, be protected, you know, just be careful and go. And then a month later, they came, the same devils went on the television and they said, well, we have to cancel Christmas. We're canceling Christmas because we're in the middle of the deadliest pandemic. And if we see anyone having a Christmas dinner at home, we'll send the police and you will be arrested. If you have a brother for a coffee, you will be arrested. If you dare to celebrate Christmas, you will be arrested. So what I did, I invited the whole city to celebrate Christmas with me. And I went on television, and this is what I said. I said, you're useless politicians. I'm canceling you, and I rent you on essential services. We will be better off without you, and I invite everyone that wants to come to the biggest Christmas celebration in the country. So thousands of people showed up at City Hall, and we had AAA steaks. We had hundreds of gifts for the homeless. We had caterers, Christmas carolers. It was awesome. And we also had over 100 police officers, 52 police cars, and about 20 cops on bicycle, and the chief of police showed up. And I ended up with 15 COVID tickets for that day. That's how much they enjoyed the carolers. I blame the carolers. And the chief of police looked at me and he said, what are we going to do with you? And I said, no. What are we going to do with you? You see, they think that we're nobodies. Just because they hold some positions, because they have more money than we have, they think. And see, Goliath made a very powerful mistake. It cost him his life and the life of his buddies, Fauci's and Obama's and Clinton's. You see, Goliath didn't know who the real God really was. And he thought that David is just a kid with the sticks and he's running in his own authority. And that's the problem with the church. We are running in our own authority, so we get a beating after beating after beating instead of running in the authority of the living God. And here is what David says. You came to me with a javelin and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You see, when we come in the name of Jesus Christ, it's over for the enemy. And he runs. He sticks this guy with a bullet in the forehead, with a smooth stone, and comes to him, and he chops his own head with his own devices. God uses the devices of the enemy, the wealth of the enemy, the power of the enemy against the enemy's head if you're willing to go to the fire. You see, Christians, we have to be willing to go to the fire. We cannot be like the Israelites watching Fauci's defying our living God and laughing in our face. We have to rally our troops. We have to be like those heroes of old. We have to stand up remembering who our God is and knowing who we are in God. David knew his God and he knew who he was in God. See, the chief of police and the police force and anti-terrorists and all those different people, they think they possess the power. But I'm telling you, they only can do whatever our God is allowing them to do. They woke up this morning because my father said, fine, another day. I will use them as my tools to glorify my name. David wins a fight. He becomes a champion for the people. Do you want to be a champion of the living God? Do you want to be known in the kingdom of the enemy? You see, when the devil wakes up in the morning, he should say, oh, not him again. Oh, not her again. You see, we have to make the devil a believer. He has to wake up in the morning and start praying to God, not them, please, Lord. Just anyone, not them. Once he said to me, Art, you have to become famous in hell because you're famous in heaven. You know, oh, that's arrogance. Now think about it. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become famous in heaven. True. Because every time a person comes to the kingdom of God, every time someone goes to his knees and receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, there is a party in heaven. True? That's the Bible. There is a party in heaven. You see, your name becomes famous because there is a party in your name. But then you have to become famous in hell. You see, when the enemy shows up and bypasses you and looks at you and goes to fight another person, that means you are useless in the kingdom of God. That means you're not a threat to the devil. That means he doesn't want to waste his resources because he has limited resources on you. And that should scare you. In my Bible, it says that I wish that you would be hot or cold. Why, Lord? I ask him, why? Because you see, when you're lukewarm, that means you tasted me. You've tasted my grace and my mercy, and you've tasted the blood of Jesus, and you accepted it, and then you spit in my face. You walked away from the gift that is the greatest gift that this earth has ever had, my own son. You're telling me, I don't want your son. I don't want your sacrifice. I'm not interested in your kingdom. I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I'm a lukewarm, good-for-nothing duck. You know what a duck is? Spiritual duck? I was a duck for many years. A duck walks a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and talks like this. God doesn't want you to talk like this. God wants you to talk like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God wants you to say what David said to the giant. Who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you should defy the armies of the living God? Today, this day, I'm going to chop your head off. Not just yours, but your body's too. I'm coming after you, Fauci, you devil. I'm coming after you, Obama and Clinton and Newsom and Brown or whatever the devil you are in this country. I'm coming after you. You see, you thought you're coming after me. No. God just exposed you. I'm coming after you. If you have sheriffs that are crooks, take the whole church, surround the police station and say, resign. Resign. If you're not able, if you're not capable to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, obviously you're not fit to do your job. Resign. If you have a mayor that is a crook, if you have a mayor that is not upholding the Constitution, surround the city hall and say, resign, or we will resign you. And vote someone that will uphold the law and honor God, because this nation was built on the Word of God. You see, the difference between other nations and United States of America is this. God chose Israel as his nation, but Americans chose God to be their God. The founding fathers, of America, they ask God to be the God of America. And that's a very unique thing. You probably will not find another country that started the whole thing, the whole nation, by inviting God to be their God. But Americans did, and I believe because they did that, the founding fathers, the forefathers of old, I believe that God still has a covenant with you and still wants to use you. That's why he said to me, tell this great American eagle to rise up and start flapping its wings. The world is watching you. The eyes of the world is on you, Americans. And here is what they say. Will Americans rise up? Will they stand up? Will they defend us? Will they come to the rescue just like they did during the First War and the Second War? You see, I know the history and I know what Americans did. They came and they fought for people that they did not know, for nations that they did not know. But they did it because that was the right thing to do. And then we said, lest we forget, never again. And we have forgotten, because they want us to forget the blood of the martyrs and the blood of those that paid the price so you can have your cars and your vacations and your food in your houses. You see, they paid the price. Now it's time for us to pay the price. And if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your children. Do it for the grandchildren. You see, when I look at the eyes of my children, I can look into their eyes and say, your daddy did what I could. I pushed as hard as I could. I was arrested. I was thrown in prison. I was stripped naked and they put chains on my legs because I opened the church. And I invited people to come to church. And I fought, and still they tried to assassinate me a number of times, and I still stood my ground. And they said, we're going to kill you, and I came, and I stood my ground. And they said, you will be arrested again. I said, come, you uncircumcised Philistines. My God is still bigger than your God. And in Portland, we stood our ground. And I will never forget that day on your soil when they did what they could to scare us, and we stood our ground, and the pastor got amazed in his eyes, a bear spray in his eyes, and he could not see for 2 hours, and yet he could not see a thing, and he stood and he preached. He preached without being able to see a thing and glorified God, which is in heaven. In a face of hyenas, in a face of chihuahuas, he did it. If you have 2 hours, I feel sorry for you. I truly believe, because someone was shaking her head, so I don't know. If you have a 2 hour, I'll pray for you. And I recommend you to lay hands on that beast and cast out the devil out of that thing. You see, I said to Antifa that day, because you did what you did, I'm coming back. I was supposed to be in Portland for 1 hour. I was supposed to be in Oregon for 1 hour, one speech, and I was already scheduled to go to Seattle, Washington. So I did my speech. Oh, yeah, they cleaned my sinus. It was wonderful. There were times that they did not see, but that's okay. You go by faith. We stood our ground. We delivered the messages. Encourage the people. And that news went across the world. You know that was international news. It's incredible. They exposed themselves. They showed to the whole world who they really are. That's what God is doing right now. He's exposing the fake from the real. He's exposing the sheep from the goats and the sheep from the wolves. Now it's easier than ever to know who is who. So I said, because you did what you did, I'm coming back. Not just for 1 hour, I'm coming back for 4 days. Oh, you wanted me out, really? You said, come or else, don't come or else. And I choose or else, so here I am. We had a big event on Saturday, Antifa showed up. We had a big event on Tuesday, Antifa showed up, double the number. And they came and they were pointing a finger at me. They said, we need him to go down. And I had about 40 guys with me, real Americans. And they stood, and they came dressed for war, too. You see, we can dress as well. And they came with their semi-automatics and pistols. I mean, I was like, wow, I love America. I love lions. Because you see, lions show up with their claws and their teeth. So we stood our ground, and we organized another event on Wednesday. And those poor Chihuahuas didn't show up. And I was so, so sad. Because when you have those people coming in the bigger numbers, for a preacher, there's nothing better than a big crowd. And when we did it Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday, and I did not see them on Wednesday, I was almost heartbroken. Because it turned out that Fauci only paid them for 3 days that month, not for the fourth one. So they didn't show up. Can you believe it? I even looked for them. Couldn't find them. But you know who did show up? A governor, Katrine Brown, showed up. And she showed up where I was to be preaching with the curses. Because, you know, she's a witch. I don't just say she's a witch. She is a practicing witch. She curses people. She curses the land. She walks with this whole witch's outlet, you know, the whole nine yards. It's crazy. So she showed up when I was about to preach to curse the land. And she maybe taught, I don't know. I don't know what she taught. We eat hyenas for breakfast. Governor is just a bigger hyena. I'm not scared of the governors or Fauci's or whatever the devil's name is. Giant is a giant. So we did Wednesday, we did Thursday, no Antifa, and we did Friday, no Antifa, and I told them I'm coming back. No response. Maybe because they did not receive more money, their cell phones got shut down. So I don't know what is happening. But you see, that's how you fight the enemy. You fight the enemy by standing. David understood that. All those heroes of faith understood that. They stood the ground, they fought the good fight of faith. So how about you? Mordecai, in the story of Esther, is a one man that was told to bow. We are being told to bow. Haman, Fauci, demands us to bow. He says, bow or else I'll kill you, I'll build a gallows for you. You know the story of Esther? I hope you do. The story of Esther should be called the story of Mordecai. Because Mordecai is the man that triggered the whole thing. The whole story is about Mordecai. The whole story is about a man. It's about the man that was refusing. He refused to bow. Haman demanded that everyone would bow, and everybody did. I hope you're not that part. You're not that category of people. But Mordecai said, I shall not bow. You see, a good man do not bow before wicked people. We do not bow before the hyenas. Lions never bow before the hyenas. And Mordecai stood tall, and he was said that he was told many days, day after day, they were telling them, why are you not bowing? Why are you not wearing a muzzle? Why are you not social distancing? Why are you not obeying the mandates? Why are you not obeying our recommendations and restrictions? Why? What's wrong with you? You are bloody murderers. You're super spreaders. Because of you, people are dying left and right. That's what they say to us. Why are you not bowing? But you see, good men never bow before wickedness. And Mordecai refused to bow. And because one man refused to bow, God not only rescued the entire Israel, but he elevated Mordecai and Esther and the entire Israel. That's our portion. That's our portion. That's what God wants to give us. If we are willing. If we are willing to take what's rightfully ours. Whose country is this? Is this Fauci's country? Is this your governor's country? Is this the mayor's country or the sheriff's country? Whose country is this? Because if it's yours, stand up and fight for it. If it's your country, if this is your promised land, then rise up and do what God wants you to do. Be a man and a woman of faith. I'll tell you why they are telling us to wear a muzzle. But before that, I'll tell you a real story. We were talking about dogs, so I'll tell you a story, a thing that I saw with my own eyes. You know, from time to time, because we were receiving threats and our church was vandalized, so I would come out from time to time just to see if the enemy is coming or not, just to be prepared. And then I came out from the church outside, and I saw this incredible view. I saw a dog, very happy dog, that had the owner on his leash. And the dog was extremely happy, and he was wiggling his tail, and it was not a chihuahua. It was a real dog. And it was a very happy dog, and he looked at me, and he spoke to me. Oh, yes, dogs can talk. And this is what the dog said. This is weird. This is weird. I took my owner for a walk on a leash, and he is wearing a muzzle on his face, and I am free. You see, we have entered a weird season. The virus is 1,000 times smaller than the bacteria. I was just on a panel of discussion with one of your top virologists. A virus is 1,000 times smaller than the bacteria. Wearing a muzzle or a Pampers will not stop the virus from coming to your lungs. It's just impossible. If I'm hurting your feelings, too bad. Sorry, that's the truth. It will not help you. It will not save you. It's impossible. The same way, a Pampers is not going to save you from a biological attack when your kid poops. And you can tell it did. It's just a reality. It's just too small. It comes through. It's like stopping a mosquito from a chain, like chain. It's not going to happen. It's too small. So why they are forcing us to wear one? Why they are telling us to wear one? Well, I'll tell you why. I grew up behind the Iron Curtain. I studied symbols of slavery. You see, every time when you had slaves, you were told to wear a muzzle. Muzzle is telling you, you have no identity. I'm taking your identity away from you. I'm taking your name away from you. I'm taking your face away from you. You see, the Bible says that we have been created in the image of God. They don't want to see your image. They don't want to see the image of God. They're taking your identity. You see, God created you with a beautiful face. Why hide it? Why be terrified? Why be afraid? While my God is bigger than all the viruses on earth, why are you doing it while you know and the virologists and the biologists and the doctors, the real ones, not Fauci, he's not the doctor. Real doctors are telling you this has no sense. I'm taking your identity away from you. And I'm taking your voice away from you. You have no say. You're a slave. You're just a social insurance number to me. Wear one, be a good slave, be a good dog, or else. That's the message. That's why they're forcing us to do this stuff. That's why when I am at the airport, and I flew about 80 planes so far in 2 months, sometimes 2-3 times a day, and I'm being bombarded everywhere I go. Social distance, save lives. We're in this together. Social distance yourself, 2 meters apart, 6 feet apart. And then when they're calling us to board a plane, we're all next to each other like we are married. And then they cram us into this plane. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting next to a guy, and we could be married already. We're so close. And we're like basically husband and wife. They just put us so close to each other. And then we stand up, so the plane arrives, and then they start this mantra again. Please save lives, stand up, and keep a social distance 2 meters apart. In the plane, I just flew with this dude. He could be my wife right now. We're so close with each other. And they're telling us, keep 2 meters apart to save lives. You hypocrites, you liars. I'm so angry. I'm biting myself everywhere at that time because I know that they would love for me to do something. So I would be on no-fly list. And I cheat a lot. I'm a cheater. I stop my musk many times. Make so many holes that I'm telling you. You can see heaven from it. And I took even one layer out. So it's almost nothing there. But they're telling us to do that because they have a plan. You have to understand what's really going on. We cannot be a blind, stupid